Hello, you're listening to Spoiler
Filled
Film
Conversation.
Hooray!
Hooray!
Yay!
So, I'm Richard Nicholas, and with me to talk about films, as we often do, is Anthony Evans.
Hello.
Jamie Thomas.
Hello.
And Abigail Bain.
Hi there.
Hi. This week, Abby picked a film for us all to watch. We did so, and that film is Knock Off. Abby, the details for our patient listeners.
Knock Off is from 1998. It stars Jean-Claude Van Damme, who plays a fashion designer who gets involved with the CIA and some smugglers putting bombs in things in Hong Kong during the changeover in the 90s. It's directed by Hark See. Written by Stephen E. D'Souza, stars Jean-Claude Van Damme and Rob Schneider.
Who else is in it? There must have been some more names up on that list.
There were also Leila Rochon, Paul Savino, Carmen Lee, Wyman Wong, Glenn Chin, Michael Wong, and a bunch of other people.
So, Abby, why did you select this film for us, and what were you expecting coming into it?
I picked this film because, one, it's mad. Two.
It's bad.
It's... Hey. Also, I can't remember how it came up, but I'd heard some more harsh words towards Rob Schneider in the media sphere.
They're not hard to come by.
And I wanted to remind myself that there was a time where he had a gig that was quite good for him, and he did all right.
Yeah, that was Home Alone 2. You guys remember that? And he's in it. You can't argue the fact he's in it and it's good. But you think Knock Off is good, Abby, and you wanted to share this wonderful Van Damme movie with us.
Yes, I did.
I tell you what, I'll tell you my expectations going in, because I also watched it the first time, as Abby did, as part of our, let's look at a bunch of Jean-Claude Van Damme movies. Why not? We haven't seen that many. I'm sure they're all awesome or so bad they're awesome, and you know, it was one of those, and we kind of went, that was fun, that was kind of silly and over the top and funny. And so I don't know what I expected the first time, but this time round I was positively looking forward to it. Jamie, what about you?
I haven't seen that many Van Damme films, but I was expecting this to be... To be fair to it, even though I would have slated it to death, I was expecting... I was taken by surprise because I was expecting more of a standard, like, sweaty fight film. Like,
I know what you mean.
Yeah, and that's not what happened.
No, it isn't.
It's not only going for, martial arts action movie. It is also making a very big move to trying to be a mainstream comedy, or at least a comedy. It's trying to you know, be funny on purpose, not be funny because it's terrible. Although, could be argued it is that as well. Anthony, what were you expecting?
I suppose I was expecting all the kind of obvious, like, cheesy Van Damme action movie kind of cliches and all the kind of things associated with him. But like, there were certain factors peppered, like the term fashion designer being thrown in there and Rob Schneider being there. I don't know, there were just too many factors at play to really kind of come to an informed expectation, but I was intrigued.
Basically, you're expecting there to be a bunch of roundhouse kicks, as there often are with Van Damme movies.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well... So me and Abby, we already liked this coming in. I would say we enjoyed it again, but we did watch it together, which I think helps. Did you guys enjoy it, and did you watch it with anyone?
I didn't. I watched it alone. I can see that this film would definitely have more enjoyment if you had someone riffing it off with you. But no, I thought it was... I was surprised. I was expecting something... Just, I don't know, I didn't think it would work. I thought it would be interesting, but I didn't think it would work. But I was pleasantly surprised when it did.
And you, Jamie?
I watched it alone, and by the time it finished, I felt like one of those old devoutly religious people from the old days who used to, like, whip themselves in the street to atone for everyone else's sins.
So this was the switch of your punishment.
Yes.
I was watching this. Okay. Well, let me and Abby talk you into why it's one of the best Van Damme movies. First of all, Jean-Claude and Rob Schneider are a duo for most of this. And they are, like, fashion designers is not really the right word. They're kind of dudes who sell knockoff clothes and knockoff products. And they're embroiled in a plot about tiny bombs being sent around the world to knock off toys and clothes. And loads of people being in the CIA and trying to crack down on this weird organized crime thing that involves... It involves Russians, it involves the Chinese. It's kind of confusing.
Yeah, I had no idea who the villains were by the end of the film.
But one of the great things is, or terrible things, is everyone keeps revealing they're both in the CIA and or they're corrupt. Or like, it just seems to keep doing that. You never know who's going to stay as the bad guy at the end.
Every time somebody is required by the plot to be a villain, they go, ah, but really?
Yes. And,
yeah.
I think the general idea is, the first one is Rob Schneider's character goes, actually, I'm not a guy who sells knockoff goods with you, Jean-Claude. I am, in fact, working in the CIA. And there's also a female black CIA agent who is a good guy at first, but then she's a bad guy, but then she's a good guy again.
She's sort of internal affairs, kind
of. Yeah. There's an Asian agent of, I can't remember who he was with. The bloke one. There's a woman one as well.
The Hong Kong police, I think.
Right. And there's also, like, probably my favourite opening moment, because I am going to... We're going to sell it to you. Like, my favourite opening moment after an awesome kick-ass rickshaw race is one of... Yeah, that's right. Take it in. There is a moment after they crash into a small shop. There's an Asian woman who's, like, trying to arrest these guys who've crashed into the shop, and she gets taken out with a tin of beans from Rob Schneider to the head, and that is awesome. And that's after a mammoth action movie. After a mammoth, like, ridiculous race on rickshaws.
I think we should talk about the rickshaw race and get it out of the way now. Because
I don't like the way you make it sound like a bad thing, Jerry.
They set up this weird moment. It's a Van Damme movie, and he meets his friend Eddie, and, like, they're talking about something that they do. Like, it sounds like they're going to be in some kind of tournament, and you think, oh, they're going to fight because it's a Van Damme movie. That's what happens.
Yeah.
And then they pick up their little rickshaws, and he puts Rob Schneider in his, and for some reason Eddie has a midget.
It's because he weighs less, so that he'll be able to go faster.
Yeah, it's the wacky races of rickshaw races. Anything goes. The track is just optional. You can drive anywhere you like around Hong Kong as long as you get to the finish line first.
And they don't.
And we don't really.
And there just don't appear to be any rules. It's just so violent.
No. I'm pretty sure Muttley is pulling Dick Dastardly on one of the rickshaws. But it's just a completely no holes barred rickshaw race.
But
with,
I like
with gangsters betting on it.
It serves like no purpose, because it doesn't, it's not like it comes up ever again that, oh yeah, and also, like, Van Damme's character is a great runner or he can pull stuff really well, I don't know, but no,
it doesn't fit in, because the plot opens with some terrible effects and the premise of, oh look, there's all these dolls in the water, what are they about? Oh, they've just exploded and killed loads of people, and there's incredible
explosion.
Sorry?
A green explosion.
That's right. Do you know why they have green in the explosions? Because it's from the same stuff that they use in Game of Thrones. Yeah. It's the same terrible green flames.
The opening scene also includes the detective who is seemingly immune to explosions.
There's a whole other movie. in how much that guy does not set on fire.
Because he's engulfed in green flames and is properly supposed to be next to the explosion, and he somehow lives with just a few rips in his jacket. A lot of jackets and shirts and jeans ripping in this. Any excuse to get Van Damme naked, basically.
Yeah, I like that when he gets irritated, he takes his top off. he gets flustered several times and just pulls his clothes off, like, I'm in a prison of cloth.
I think he gets used to the fact that he wears, like, knockoff clothes and they tear all the time. So he's kind of used to his muscles flexing and having freedom. So occasionally he's like, oh, this one hasn't torn off me by the end. I'll take it off. I must be topless for this unnecessary scene where I just sit in a boat waiting for more action to happen. But yes, coming back to the, somehow not fazed by explosions, Chinese police guy. He's one of the few people who doesn't have a, oh, he's a bad guy really thing. But there's him, there's a CIA guy who is also is the Don in Goodfellas. He's playing a CIA boss who's in charge of everything.
I think you're talking about Paul Sorvino.
Yeah. And spoilers, he is the official baddie at the end, because he's the one, for some reason, selling tiny bombs to Russians in knockoff clothes. I think that's the idea.
And also immune to explosions.
Yeah!
What even happened at the end? He's laughing on a boat, and then the boat blows up, and then he's in a little room with all the explosives. What?
Just after the most insanely short, like, usually it's a cut, and it's usually like, oh, 2 weeks later or 2 months later, but this is just 2 hours later.
Yeah, because in the big climax, when they're on a boat, and there's obviously the bombs they've been having go off throughout the film are going to explode and take down the baddies, he somehow survived that without, basically because they find his remote control, they go, oh, maybe he's still out there, I guess we'll take this home and play with it, and then when he's making little tiny bombs again because he's survived this impossible situation, they blow him up by accident playing with a remote control, and it is just like, why did he have to survive if you're just going to blow him up anyway?
Yeah, 2 hours later.
The other thing that concerns his character, I think, is worth talking about, is the CIA need to do operations in Hong Kong for whatever reason. They need a secret base. Where is that secret base, everyone?
It's in a giant statue of a Buddha, I believe.
Yes.
Yes, it is. It is underneath one of the most famous landmarks in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Go on.
There's an opportunity for some of possibly the worst modern blue screen I've seen.
Yeah.
Oh, that was... When they blow it up because, you know, it's a landmark, this is an action movie, we blow those things up. It is just like, did you even... They didn't... Like, they must have had the most basic form of whatever Photoshop they had in the 90s and just, I don't know, they almost may as well have collaged the effect on the screen. It was terrible, wasn't it? Oh, just terrible green fire and explosions. And then when the fire lands and you've got your actor on the ground after whatever they've survived, all the fire is suddenly orange now because we can actually have it all of a sudden. Oh. But, you know, the CIA... They do have a good base under that massive Buddha. I mean, any room in Hong Kong would have done, but they go for a swanky villain. That's why they're the villains. You know he's a villain because he's picked a really swanky base.
Yeah.
So the clues are there, guys. Oh, dear. So, Abby, why do you like this film? Point out some more things. Go, go, go.
Well, I really liked the rickshaw race. I thought it was... bizarre and wonderful. I particularly like the way that during this rickshaw race, to demonstrate how terrible the knockoffs are in Hong Kong, Jean-Claude Van Damme's shoes are exploding.
Because they got a shoe that's Puma with two M's and therefore is inferior. I still think that's a kind of very subtle product placement for Puma, because it's not Puma, but they're suggesting Puma. That if you buy Puma instead of Puma, they will explode and ruin your chances of winning the rickshaw race.
Something about the rickshaw race I don't understand. There's a lot of things about this film I don't understand, but one in particular. Doesn't Eddie get shot in the face in the back of the truck and then, like...
No!
No, he tries to cheat. and replaces him with some other guy, and the other guy then ends up getting shot. He's like stand-in.
Okay. Right.
Because they're all villains trying to win this race that's seemingly trying to be rigged as well. Okay. There's a lot of crime involved in this rickshaw race.
Because I thought he was dead, and then he turns up later, and I thought, wait, died. What?
You've missed a fairly significant chunk there. I hope that your attention didn't wander.
I'm not going to pretend that I didn't have a hard time focusing.
Jamie, just admit it. All Asians look the same to you, and you are horribly, horribly racist. No, I quite liked Eddie, the character, because he's the sort of lovable crime guy who Van Damme's his buddies with. And what I like about his character is whenever they meet up, they do a little fake punching and pulling a fake gun on each other, buddy punch thing.
I like that, because I like that when he turns up later, Eddie does that to Van Damme, and Van Damme just kind of sulks and doesn't do it back.
Yeah, it's good. When they do the fake punching, it is almost good enough for a No Retreat, No Surrender film to actually use that take. Like, it's that kind of, oh, well, it's close enough. We could let that in. That's fine. But I like that character. Also, the other Asian comedy crime guy that's in it quite a bit is Skinny. Is that his name?
Skinny. Oh, irony.
What's with him, Ab? What's with him? Why is it ironic?
Because he's not skinny. He's a little bit robust.
He's a big fat man, and he wears silly glasses. It looks like how Gok Wan apparently used to look. Apparently, Gok Wan, big chubber.
He was in Skinny, not Gok Wan, was in one of the most confusing scenes in the film when they're all in the gym and everyone's talking, but the camera never focuses on who's talking.
Yes,
so there's all these disembodied voices dubbed in out of nowhere, and I didn't know what the hell was going on.
And you didn't know if you thought maybe he was in danger at first, and then he wasn't, and then it turns out he was in charge. It was,
yeah, and there were people who were dead, but they were, like, were they dead? Had they killed people? Like, nothing was clear about what was happening in that scene.
It does raise an interesting point about the film, where all over the film, the dub is kind of terrible. It's almost like Rob Schneider and Jean-Claude don't speak English, and they were dubbed because everyone is dubbed. Like, obviously, when you watch a Chinese movie, if you watch it with dubbed, it's going to be a bit weird. But the sound quality is just, what's going on? Why does no one sound like they're really talking?
I couldn't help but kind of feel like it, in a certain way, it kind of fit, because this whole film just is a kind of, it's the style of like the cheap kind of Chinese Hong Kong crime martial arts movies of like the 80s, and they were always so badly dubbed it was highly distracting, so it kind of fit in that kind of weird way.
It was a lot like some of the, it was aspiring to be a Jackie Chan movie, I think.
Someone when I was like reading about it afterwards, someone posited the theory that, I think it may be giving the film a bit too much credit, but that this film was deliberately meant to be a knockoff of those, like...
That is genius. That whoever suggested that, yeah. I hope they're right, because it is like a Jackie Chan kind of knockoff. Yeah. Where, well, we got a different action movie, and it's a cheap, lame version of... Yeah, that's too clever for people, though, isn't it?
I was going to say, like, if that's the case, then I'll have to reevaluate my opinion of the film.
But it is like that. That does fit perfectly. It was good and entertaining to some extent. We're still debating it. But it is kind of like a knockoff of a legit comedy action movie. Interesting idea.
I was just going to say no, because like, you've got Van Damme in it, who like people used to accuse of being a knockoff, like
Arnie or something.
Yeah, who, you know. And then you've got Rob Schneider, who's knockoff comedy, like
Adam Sandler, like.
Yeah.
It was like, weird, actually, because there was no one from the Adam Sandler world in this. And, like, Rob Schneider, you usually associate with the Adam Sandler posse of filmmakers. But he, you know, this has nothing to do with that.
Rob Schneider's the guy you get if, like, you want someone funny in your film, but you can't afford it.
Like, you
What's the name of the guy, something Vaughn, who's often that guy?
Vince Vaughn.
But you can't even get Vince Vaughn. Or the guy from King of Queens.
Evan James.
Right. I don't know. He's definitely like a maybe D-level sort of comedy actor most of the time. Well, you probably, if you had the budget, would go elsewhere. I don't know. There's not a lot of good Rob Schneider movies, but I don't hate him.
I don't know if it's his fault, really. Because ever so occasionally, he gets something different to do. And he does absolutely fine. And you wonder, why doesn't anyone ever ask him to do this stuff at other times?
Because he's known for the catchphrases in Adam Sandler movies, I think, is why. And they don't really want to be involved.
I will admit I was coming into this slightly dubious, mainly because of Rob Schneider. But I'd say he's competent enough in this.
He's fine.
Yeah.
Like, he suits the tone.
Like, he doesn't overdo it, like comedy. Yeah. There are some moments where the comedy's a bit odd and a bit out of context. But generally, you know, he's fairly believable as a kind of semi-CIA action-y Joker kind of person.
That's one of the things about the film, like, when, like, it's obviously intended to be a comedy, but all the, like, attempts at intentionally funny scenes are really, like, odd. They don't feel right. And I don't know if part of that is the strange editing and part of it is the dubbing. Because there's the scene where she gets Van Damme and Rob Schneider to, like, rip a pair of the knockoff jeans.
Mm.
And it, like, they're doing it and then they're talking at the same time and their speech doesn't match up to their movements. And it's just this really bizarre little scene.
Maybe it's like a harkening back to the early days of slapstick cinema. It's a little bit too low budget to work, but we kind of get where they're going.
And they kind of do this, every now and again, they do this, like, haha, they're like a gay couple kind of
Or just routine. Bros. They got a bromance thing going on.
But they never really go any direction with it. Like, they don't seem... The only reason we know that they're, like, friends is because they tell us.
They kind of go around as if they're a comedy duo, as if we should know them from their TV series. Like, here they are in this one again.
Yeah.
And there's an assumed buddiness that they didn't really establish, because there's a lot of people to share the focus, because there's a lot of CIA people and cops all trying to take down these various baddies. But I do find the comedy between Van Damme and Schneider quite good, because I think they get... It's the right kind of tone of slightly goofy comedy where people, they pull faces and kind of react like a double act to things. So it's a little cheesy, but I kind of enjoyed that about it.
I think Rob Schneider helps. He's got a rapport with Van Damme, which makes him less wooden.
Maybe.
I would say there's a chemistry there.
Yeah.
I thought that, and I thought it was a shame because... had they taken that double act and put it in a better film, but tried to do the same kind of thing, that could have been quite funny. Like, that could have, like, had that film been made in the 90s, then it could have been the film that saved Van Damme's career instead of killed it dead like this one did.
I don't know if this did, because, you know, it's always up for debate when action movie stars' careers die or ebb. And really, it's just...
Having seen some of Van Damme's other movies, I very much doubt it was this one.
I think this was his last theatrically released film until The Expendables.
There we are. Look, what came directly before it?
There's a lot of bad Van Damme movies.
Yeah, there's a lot of ones that just don't...
No.
I don't know, they pumped them out for such a long time.
You just, with action movie guys, you got to search for the one that's right for you, or the, like, you got to pick and choose. Some Arnie ones are terrible, some Van Damme ones are terrible, but you'll find a gem that you can latch on to. It's all about, you know, selecting the right ones and picking them up. And maybe there's, you know, different tastes in what you like, maybe like a serious, harsh thing. And what I quite liked with this is it was a nice change. It was showing Van Damme can kind of do comedy. It is a little cheap, but he's right for comedy, whereas other people, you can't really, I don't know, you can't get the same kind of humour from other action stars.
I think Legionnaire came out the same year that this did, and Legionnaire, not good.
dull.
But I can't. I don't think any of the ones that came after were theatrical releases until Expendables 2.
Mm.
But then, oh, we're not going to debate all of his movies. But I think, you know, there are really good Van Damme cheesy ones. There's actually, my favourite Van Damme movie is probably JCVD, which is kind of a kind of parody of his own life.
Where
he's stuck in a post office with some people trying to rob it, and it's a lot more thoughtful and interesting.
I've heard good things about that, and I would be curious to see it.
Yeah, it is good. It's not like anything else he's done. It's kind of...
From what I've seen of it, it shows that he's aware of his own image.
Yeah,
and what people think of him.
But back to the rickshaw race, right, guys? Yeah. It's so fun. He's like, they go crashing down streets. They're like running up against buses that are crashing in. For some reason, it's really important that that Skinny wins and gets his guy to win. So he's, you know, switching races and killing people. And it's kind of, and it all ends in a crash rather than a finale into a shopping, like a supermarket. And come on, was it not a spectacle?
It was. I will give props to the stunt director throughout the film. I think even though the plot is all over the place and just ridiculous, I can't fault any of the action scenes.
And they're fun. They're stupid. Yeah. And you could be going, oh, it's awful, they're so unbelievable. But it's like, no, it's comically ridiculous.
Yeah, and
I actually thought...
I was just going to say,
yeah,
it's kind of the point where the film's weird style kind of works the best is in the action scenes, when it's all... It keeps a real sense of pace and urgency with all the camera work and the quick edits and the camera's constantly moving.
I was going to say, that's one of the things that I found frustrating about it, was that the director's style for the any scenes with dialogue or plot was too much. It was like that kind of Terry Gilliam Dutch angles, and everyone's a little bit too close to the camera and you feel a bit sick.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It got
really distracting.
It worked in the action scenes, but I didn't feel like there was enough action. All the action scenes felt really truncated. They felt like they'd been cut really short.
Hmm. Upon second watching, I kind of felt like some of the stunts I remembered lasted a lot longer than they did. They did come to an end sooner than I remembered. But, you know, it is trying to be maybe too many things. It's trying to be a thriller, an action movie, and a comedy. And, you know, it's maybe got too many characters all doing this. They could do with just two guys doing one story rather than multiple people coming in partway through and being relevant and yet seemingly not that fleshed out. So, yeah, maybe it could have had more of this action-y stuff well directed in. But then so talking about directing, right? Two of the things I think that are very visually clear, it feels very 90s because it's trying really hard to be visually entertaining with the editing and shots. So the main thing you might have picked up on is the weird zooming into things.
Yeah.
Editing. It's not editing. It's sort of a camera effect to make it look like we're zooming into someone's shoe and then through the shoe, through the wall and into the TV and out the other side through all the circuit boards, and we're coming out into their face. It was kind of, we kept going through things for some reason.
It was a cool idea, but it happens about three times at the start and then stops.
As it goes on, it happens less, definitely.
Yeah, they just forget that they were doing that thing.
Plus, there are just so many moments of it where it has no relevance.
Yeah.
It's just Jean-Claude Van Damme puts on a shoe, so let's have a foot-eye view of it, shall we? Why not?
Yeah, I forgot about the foot-eye view.
And some of them are confusing, because they have one where it's I think Rob Schneider's being talked to in the bathroom or toilet or whatever, and someone slaps a newspaper on the mirror, and we kind of go from inside the mirror through the newspaper into their face. But it's like, I can't even understand where have I gone now? Where are we? You can't keep throwing X-ray vision through walls in, and I'm going to get lost.
That's the thing. I like the visual imagination that the director had for this. but someone really did need to just get him to have a sit down because he's had too much pop.
Yeah. Kind of, or if he's going to do that all the time, just be it all like consistently there. Because I think at one point where we introduce the knockoff element that these like Van Damme and Schneider are knockoff guys, and they have some businesses that they look after. And they have a shot where he's looking at Rolex, fake Rolexes or something, and they have a little box come up with showing us. They have a little box in the screen showing us what's in the cardboard box, and it's watches in there, is it? And that's the only time they use one of those inserts.
Yeah,
it's just like, what? Who's that for? Is this a comic book now? What's going on?
Yeah, because it reminded me of the Ang Lee version of Hulk.
Yeah,
and he did that a lot in that film because he thought, oh, it's a comic book movie, so I'm going to put comic book panels in it and do different shots in different ones, which is a cool idea. And then this film does it once in the corner of one shot.
It's a bit like he had a bingo card that he had to fill in.
Yeah.
It's like, I've done that one now. Done that one.
We're going to film a cool boat stunt. I know. I'll get my assistant director to just film some rocks really close up, and instead of making it look cool, I'll show the boat going into the rocks, then, ooh, rocks at fast speed, and then a fake fire and a man swimming away. It really did have loads of weird choices in there. But one thing I liked about the direction, because I don't really want to have that much of a go, because I thought it entertained me in that, in a way, but I did like how a lot of establishing shots would start with something odd, like looking like someone getting some fish out of a fish tank, then we'd pan to some stairs and watch our main characters go up into a location. They kept doing quite interesting things before we set up a scene, and I quite enjoyed those.
The problem I had with the direction and how colourful it was that all of that goes out the window in the final fight scene.
You're right. And the fight scene at the end, you know, there's one of those action movies that ends with container crates everywhere. So many films are just, oh, it's always fun. Container ships with loads of containers because there's loads of corridors and angles and places to hide. But, it was quite well choreographed, the fight.
It was, the style of it somehow suddenly becomes so pedestrian compared to what the director was trying to do earlier in the film.
I think it's because they're capturing Van Damme genuinely rolling about, kicking people, sliding out of places so he doesn't get crushed.
That said, how can you not like the part where he's just skimming around on one knee shooting people?
He slides around on his knee in that bit, like he's in crouch mode, like GoldenEye on the 64. It's amazing.
There's also the bit in the multi-story car park where he shimmies up a pillar like a lizard.
He momentarily becomes Spider-Man.
And that was the point where I realised, because for some reason it had gone over my head, but I was watching that and he did that and I thought, hang on a minute, this guy's a fashion designer. At no point has it explained to me why he can do all these things he can do.
Yeah, they say that he's a street punk at one point, which would sort of explain that. If he was a bit of a scrapper, you'd accept that he knew how to fight. But the stuff that he does is just, what have you been doing in your spare time to be able to do these things?
Well, he makes athletic wear, and terrible Hawaiian shirts, apparently, which him and Schneider rock awesomely at the start. But there's no reason why he's good at fighting, is there?
No. Or can use guns with alarming proficiency.
Because Schneider is supposed to be FBI, which it's silly in a way, because you'd think if anyone's going to be revealed to be CIA, it should be Van Damme. But they do a kind of the opposite of what you would assume and go, no. The comedy character who's selling knockoffs, he's actually a police officer. And the guy who's always like an undercover cop in things, no, he's just some guy being conned by Rob Schneider. Really? Rob Schneider conned you? You believe... Well, actually, you would buy that he sells knockoff stuff in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
So, fair play. Well, Abby, there's one bit of the action sequence at the end I know you like. Would you like to bring it up?
There is an exchange that we have grown fond of. And it goes something like, Rob Schneider says, I suppose you think you've won. The guard goes, shut up! Which is one of the most abrupt forms of speech I've ever heard. Yeah,
it's
surprised.
It's amazing. It's just like, shut up! It's just like that.
Then the woman, the lady cop, says, I think they have one by this point. Rob Schneider says, I know, I was trying to mind him.
Oh, yeah.
And then she says, can I die alone, please?
That's
one of my favourite exchanges in cinema of all time.
So much so, right? When we were waiting for it, we were like, oh, I love that bit, because we occasionally quote the line. And it's just, when it happened, we were like, oh, is that all it was? Because when we say it, it's like, I tried to mind pluck him, is how we remember it. Like, it just, like, obviously the word pluck is exchanged for a different word. But we built that up to be a much better scene than it was, but I still do like that bit.
It stands out because it's borderline gibberish. None of the dialogue actually makes that much sense next to the other piece that came before it.
They kind of rush through it. That's why it stood out to us as just this weird, what?
Like they only had time for one take. So they're like, come on, just do it. Get it out of the way. And then they dubbed them afterwards.
Yeah. And one of the other things that's good about the ending is one of the henchmen who's fairly innocuous, known for his small beard, glasses, and a tiny cough that he has, suddenly decides, I'm a kick-ass henchman all of a sudden, and I can take people down with my glasses lenses because, you know, odd job was a thing. He had a hat. I have lenses. And he actually ends up accidentally killing some people.
Oh,
you fight Van Damme.
You've reminded me of another awful moment of comedy that falls so flat it goes through the floor. Where they make a joke
they physically
about
physically go through the floor themselves.
Yeah.
Probably.
They make a joke about James Bond to Rob Schneider, and he does what might be the worst Sean Connery impression I think I've ever heard anyone do.
Oh, it is. It is the worst.
It was the weirdest moment because it came out of nowhere and then went nowhere. And they just continued. And why did you even make that joke?
It's almost like they try to establish the character. Oh, okay, so Rob Schneider likes only the James Bond films, the Sean Connery. I guess that's that then.
It's like someone had misunderstood and heard, oh, you should ask Rob about his Sean Connery impression. It's legendary. He almost was on Saturday Night Live with it. It was so good. You should get him to do it in the movie. And the director's like, oh, I don't really watch Bond films. Yeah, he can do it in the film. And then Rob Schneider does it. It's like, does he know I don't do a good Sean Connery? he's going to love it. He's going to love it. And then Rob Schneider has a go and it's terrible. And the guy's like, is that like him? Yeah, sure. Of course it was.
He does the Sean Connery impression that everyone who can't do an impression of Sean Connery does.
Yeah. And most people get closer, in fairness. You could just kind of say anything and just be like, oh, you had a face like a ham sandwich. Like, and it's just that bad. It is that bad. And it's just, oh, why was that in there? Yeah. There's so many questionable bits. You're talking me out of it. I don't like it. Any help. What can I bring up?
I want to bring up the scene where Rob Schneider is like revealed as like the CIA operative, and we have Jean-Claude Van Damme like holding him over the edge
of a building,
and then just his boss, just some guy, just turns up and is like, what are you doing?
Yeah, he ninjas his way into the scene,
and I don't know, just the whole scene then afterwards where they're trying to explain what's happening, and then Van Damme and Schneider have a kind of try to have an emotional moment, and the whole just the whole scene, the way it's shot, the way it's acted, is just so confusing.
It is odd. So that scene was extra confusing because presumably Rob Schneider had gone to talk to his other operatives, and Van Damme ends up chasing or trying to get out of the building and get away from something. Is it?
Yeah, I don't remember what he was chasing them. And he leaves one hanging off some scaffolding, and then he catches Rob Schneider and whoever.
Shoves him with a pole. Just some other guy who doesn't really appear in the film. Also, his life's in danger. We don't even know who he is. And it's all because, like, Van Damme's character is being betrayed, potentially, and he doesn't know why. And the other thing about it is it's the most blatant Coca-Cola placement ever, because they're on a building that's painted with a massive advert of Coca-Cola. Oh,
yeah.
And they keep cutting, like, obviously he has to climb across the advert, and then even just to add some context to the scene, they kind of give it like far away shots to see the whole thing. Just really blatant. I mean, Van Damme is in loads of films with plenty of Coca-Cola and Pepsi like ads all over the place. But it was a particularly blatant one. And a very confusing scene where we should have been paying attention to why the guy from Goodfellas is suddenly there and relevant to the story.
You also knew straight away that he was not a good guy.
Yeah, villain. It's
nothing in particular, but just this general sense of, don't trust him. No!
Yeah. Well, he didn't do anything other than was in charge. It's always the characters with nothing else going on that they have to be busy being bad guys when we don't realise. But to try and, you know...
I remembered something that we forgot, Rich. The go graphic on. Of the bombs.
Oh, yes! This as soon as I saw it, I thought of both of your term of torching the peach.
Yay! You remember torching the peach!
Of it just being such a ridiculously pointless visual metaphor of what was going on.
Yes!
Do you want to explain it, Abby?
Well, it's been previously on...
the core commentary is where we established the term torching the peach.
And where in any movie where they explain something that can be understood just via explanation, but they insist on doing some kind of physical representation of a metaphor for what's going on. And in the core, they literally set fire to a peach, hence torching the peach.
Yeah, that the sun will heat up the earth. Because we can't imagine what that would be like. And in this case, for some reason, to demonstrate what the plan of the bad guys is, which is quite simple, they're going to put little bombs in jeans and dolls and things and send them around the world, and then they can set them off as a kind of weird terrorist attack or something. You know, that thing travel across the sea to other places, and the graphics come up on the TV screen or monitor, and it's just, they've gone to a lot of effort to show the globe and the transport places. And then what I loved was a little man in a black cat, a little man in a black hat comes up and like black glasses, and he's cheering the fact that the bombs have gone off like it's some kind of villainous version of Catchphrase. It's just so elaborate. Someone has designed these graphics just to explain bombs go a place and blow up, innit? Amazing. That is a brilliant part. So, you know, this confusing rooftop scene aside, other parts worth bringing up and talking about?
They had a really interesting fight in the food market. The actual sort of grungier street market type place. And there was a weird motif for really pointy fruit for a bit.
Yeah.
Anyone know what that was, by the way?
No.
They're called Uber pineapples, and they're bigger and spikier, and they taste all the more incredible. I don't know what they are.
It was an okay scene. I thought it was kind of standard. Within the film itself, it was fast paced, and you know, and somewhat exciting. But what I remember was what was in the safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but in regard to the scene where they all fight off seemingly random criminals and market dudes with machetes, is it, once you've seen Old Boy and people all trying to fight one guy in a long corridor with brick, like with melee weapons, nothing's going to be as good as that again. So, plus they all do a really terrible job of trying to hit Van Damme. They're all just tapping the floor where he was previously. Sorry, the thing in the safe, Anthony. Would you like to explain?
Yes, explain. Slowly, and try to get over that you're telling the truth.
Okay, so this is that a point where Van Damme and Schneider have caught up with Eddie, hiding out in this food market, and well, I don't really remember, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't remember what
really
what
happens,
about.
But it all crescendos with him opening a safe and being propelled into a wall by a rocket and exploding.
Not into, through a brick wall, out into the street and exploding. Because for some reason, it wasn't even the bombs that they've been setting up the whole thing. It was just a weird rocket launcher set up to trigger when the safe is opened. And that's a pretty epic death for him. I mean, fair play.
Yes, epic is the right word.
Ridiculous is also the right word. Yeah, I don't know what that was about.
I think that was the thing about that, is that overblown as the film was up to that point already, that didn't make sense even in terms of this film.
No.
Yeah.
It was wonderfully awesome, but also highly impractical. Yeah. Like, especially given the amount of time it takes for it to go off.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like he's staring at the rocket for about 5 seconds before he's blasted into space.
Could so easily have just stepped aside.
And I love that all of Eddie's gang as well starts going, "They killed Eddie!" It's like, they clearly didn't kill Eddie. Yeah. No, they didn't bring in a rocket launcher that's fired him next door.
It doesn't kill anyone else either. Like, surely the room should explode and they should all be injured.
Yes. It didn't make that big a hole in the wall either.
No,
just took it.
Yeah, it's just a cartoon Eddie-shaped hole.
Also, another big spectacle part was basically once the CIA tell Van Damme, "Oh, we know you're selling like rip-off claws that we shouldn't, and who cares about that plot story anymore?" But he kind of has to go. He has to go along with them on a routine bust for some reason, and he's just off in a cafe. But then, like, I saw something like a vehicle drives out through the door, smashes down a wall or something, and like then crashes into this cafe that then it's as if, oh, it's we forgot to put Van Damme in this, let's have the stunts crash into him and take him with the action.
Why did they just bring this schmuck on a proper like CIA bust? What's he gonna do?
And he was just in a restaurant.
Ignoring the fact that apparently he is actually an expert martial artist and very good with guns, but they don't know that.
Yeah. And also, you know, he knows how to choreograph a catwalk.
I think there might have been a secret movie inside this movie where Van Damme is actually one of those characters who, "I used to be this guy, but then I retired and I've run off to Hong Kong and I've made up a new life myself."
Well, that's what I kept expecting. That's what I thought was going to happen, that he actually is like an ex-cop or like an ex-CIA agent himself, and it's like another twist. But no, he's just a kick-ass fashion designer.
He is the very buff version of Tim Gunn, but of knockoffs. That's all he is. He gives catty comments. We don't even see him make any catty comments. That's what I was disappointed by.
I was hoping that he was going to play this really camp, but at the same time, be as super hard as he probably is. Yeah.
He did look weirdly made up at the start. He had some strange makeup on him. During the rickshaw race, he was wearing mascara and his hair was sort of coiffed in a very strange way.
Also, we are actually introduced to him in his car singing along to some Chinese
pop, yeah.
which immediately endeared me to him.
I thought that they were going to like be a bit risky with it and just make him gay, or at least heavily imply it, but it's just he's kind of asexual in it.
Yeah, and he wears some very tight trousers when he's running as well.
Yes.
But the way that he talks about how pretty that woman is, but never actually acts on it, suggests that he's hiding something.
And if anything, Rob Schneider's the one who's like the luckiest guy, because he's never had such a sweet role, really, because he's like a cool cop who's undercover, and he also gets a very intimate scene with the sexy female cop, and they're like, you know, almost, "Oh, are they going to do it?" And then she obviously has to reveal that she secretly thinks he's a bad guy, and he thinks she's the baddie, and blah blah blah. We're not really going to have sex, but we got very close. It was all very saucy.
One of the most awkwardly filmed scenes of that nature that I think I've ever seen, where it's just Rob Schneider like rubbing up against a woman in a bra.
Apparently getting blood on your breasts is attractive. I'm not sure. That's a bit, that's gross.
I want to know if you've seen it in anywhere else where someone puts bandages inside a shirt to get them onto their back.
It's like this guy's supposed to be CIA or whatever, and he's sticking bandages inside his jacket in preparation. Instead of addressing his wounds properly or with a cool glue gun like Dredd did, he just goes, "Yeah, you just can't stop being a silly character. You can't buy for a second these CIA." But yeah, but he's lucky. He's like, he's got an action bit, he's got gunplay, he's got the woman interested in him.
Once they stop making him wear the horrible Hawaiian shirts, he actually gets some rather nice suits to wear as well.
It's a sweet gig. He must be pleased. Also, he'll always be the guy who got Jean-Claude Van Damme to give him a rickshaw ride.
Yeah.
He will always have that. They will always have that together.
They can't take that away, no matter how many Razzies he wins.
And he got to whip his bum to make him go faster.
He did. With an eel. He whipped him with an eel.
I forgot about that. How could I forget about that? But Andy was right. They do set up Jean-Claude Van Damme as quite a funny character who's weird. And there's maybe a subtext that he is gay, because he doesn't get with the woman in the end like he usually would.
Mm.
It's not really there, but I think in our version of the film, he definitely is a gay guy.
You could read it into it. You could watch it with that in mind and easily get that out of it.
Especially if you've seen every other Jean-Claude Van Damme movie where he has sex at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
Really weird action movie sex where it's just sort of slow and too much close-ups on biceps and legs and bum cheeks. And it's just terrible romantic music. There's so many times. I don't know why action movies do it. You can't have sex in an action movie. It is a substitute for that. That's why people like action movies. Anyway, we need to talk about the scene that I brought up. Yeah, that's it. Back to the Jean-Claude Van Damme is crashed into and therefore on top of the van that's getting away with the bad guys and the evidence and who cares. Let's just have a bit with guns and Van Damme on a truck and a weird bamboo framework that they kind of do a Jackie Chan thing with for a bit where he's sort of fighting on and around it and using it.
But you've reminded me of, we already mentioned him a bit, but Fireproof Cop.
Yeah.
And how the whole time he's sort of chasing the action. Like, it was supposed to be his action movie, but then they gave it to someone else, but he refused to accept that.
Yeah. I thought that too. Like, I'm actually the star, and Sean Conrad, I'm like, no, it's me, it's my film.
And he's like, he's constantly running behind the movie, just a bit late to be in all the good bits. It is odd, because we have, you know, the usual action movie stuff of he's on the top, he's rolling over, he's trying to avoid being shot. And then what kind of happens is Van Damme uses the bamboo thing that has fallen on the truck to get off and kind of catch the cop, the Chinese cop who's there, and then the bad guys get away for a bit. But it's like, shouldn't an action movie hero get the bad guys and stop the vehicle, or not just get off in a cool way?
Something significant have happened during that chase. Actually, they do get the remote thing, don't they? The bomb trigger.
Yeah. Well,
and there's like a bit of fighting over the bleepy box that finds stuff. The cops have a bleepy thing that can tell them where the bombs are. And Van Damme's like, oh, what's this? And he's like, get off, it's my action movie as well.
And there is a cool henchman death, being impaled on a bamboo.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Well, it is an awesome sequence. It just, you know, makes as much sense as the whole film does.
Yeah.
In that sense, it was one of the bits that sort of randomly generated.
Yeah. They just had, like, action movie ideas and just, chuck it in there, that'll do.
Yeah. That's probably quite close to the truth.
That's probably the majority of the film.
Do we have any other big set pieces or significant chunks of the film that deserve a bit of airing out?
The guy with the glasses and the cough.
Mm.
He dies twice in quick succession.
How does he get finished off in the end? Because it's not an ironic, I can't see now, I've used my glasses for killing people away.
Like, crate falling. And first of all, the rope comes off. And it flies at his neck. And then there's a shot of the rope on the other side, and the rope's intact. And I think the implication was it took his head off.
Right. Yeah.
And then it immediately cuts to him standing with his head still on as the crate smashes into him and takes him off the top of the one he's standing on. So, which one is it, film? Which way did he die?
And why didn't a text come up that says, should have gone to Specsavers or something? Like, they should have done something where he couldn't see because of his glasses, not tried to kill him twice in an awkward container ship way.
They wanted a spectacular death for him, but couldn't decide which one, so they just went, just put them really close together so no one will notice.
The other thing was, they had lots of other henchmen who were quite visually, there was you know, quite visually different. They were kind of a weird group. We don't spend too much time establishing the henchmen, but there's like, oh, there's the guy who looks a bit like Brad Pitt on a butt, knockoff Brad Pitt, I guess.
Yeah.
And they all kind of had to have a henchman to take down all of the, it's basically CIA woman, Chinese cop, fashion designer, and Rob Schneider, CIA guy. They all had to take down someone or other, didn't they?
Hers is actually pretty cool. She gets that big industrial light thing to fall on that guy's head, and that looks pretty spectacular.
And she also, like, she does a bunch of climbing. She does. They Rob Schneider and her get to do a little bit of fighting alongside Van Damme's character. They do a bit of fighting, and there's this bit on the crane where she's finished, you know, taking someone out in the crane, and she kind of slides down crotch first on the banisters just to get down to ground level. I was just kind of, well, I don't know whether to be intimidated or what. That was something.
Also, Paul Savino had a terrible stunt double. I don't know if anyone else.
Oh, we did.
There were some terrible ones generally. I think which character had grey hair? Because they had.
It
was a woman, wasn't it?
It was the butch woman rickshaw driver.
Yeah,
they
cut to like, yeah, they had like a sort of mini, tiny micro story with her being a bit tough lesbian woman or something. And then her stunt double was like an Asian man with a weird wig on, as often is the case.
Paul Savino's death was so sudden that I didn't realise it had happened. Because it was literally 1 second he was laughing and then he exploded.
It was a weird... He was going, when he died, his voice did this.
It was also very odd at the climax when they were getting ready to press the button or the trigger on the bomb detonator. They took a long time for him to actually bother. Like, I don't know why he couldn't just go, I'll just do this and I'll press the button and it'll explode. But I'm going to ham the almost doing it. I'm almost pressing it. I could have pressed it, but I haven't got there yet. I'm going to... Like, and then, oh, she managed to get the bombs out of her cleavage and put them on the bad guy's ship. No. We also had dudes hiding in giant tyres on the edge of the boat. Having a kind of mini shootout before they get like thrown in the sea or whatever.
The henchmen in the concluding fight are set up like Time Crisis, where they just pop out of stuff and they have to be taken out.
Yeah, yeah, I like Time Crisis. That's a good game. I must have spent a few pounds on that arcade machine. There wasn't enough barrels. Time Crisis had a lot of dodging barrels.
Yeah.
And men in like bowler hats running on boats. No one had bowler hats in this film.
Oh, it's a shame.
What else, Abby? Have you got any other things you wanted to bring up?
Oh, I think we've covered most of them, and it's either you're going to take to it or you're not. I might recommend that Jamie watches it again now that he understands that it is insane and doesn't make sense.
And a knockoff of an actual movie.
Yeah, I think watching it in that way might make it more interesting. Also, watching it assuming that Van Damme's character is just gay makes it a lot, you know, makes him a lot more fabulous all the way through.
Abby, I know you have a few notes there. Do you have anything on the notes that we forgot to mention?
Nope.
Just in case. No, that's it. We've covered everything we needed to.
All there.
Oh, good. Good. I would hate to think we didn't.
I will say I have a note that I wrote down whilst watching it, which I don't understand the context to anymore. And it's absolutely ridiculous reason to see some boob.
Well, but the Rob Schneider thing was a bit suspect, where she's kind of trying to cop off with him, but then is CIA. I don't even remember the reveal properly.
No, I know.
For some reason, Rob Van Damme was about to get very lucky with this.
You said it again. I'm going to come in there and I'm going to punch you in the face.
Okay. For some reason, Rob Schneider was going to get extremely lucky with this beautiful woman. And then he wasn't, but we did get to see her jiggling breasts. Is that maybe what you were referring to?
Possibly.
It's not overly gratuitous at any point. It's just action-filled and silly, mainly. It's like a stupid cartoon with real people in.
That was one of the... It was more towards the start where it was cartoony, but that was something I liked about it, was the sort of cartoony nature of the rickshaw race and the way that they fight, where it may as well come up with pow, boom.
Yeah.
Whack. Biff.
there's a real comedy action movie in there somewhere. But it's just this cobbled together mess, which if you think of it as a knockoff of action movies, then that makes sense. I just don't know if that's giving it too much credit.
Does anyone know if the knockoff, like, they're selling jeans? Is there actually a jean company that has a big elephant with jeans in its trunk as a thing? Is that an actual brand?
No, I don't think so.
No.
So in a way, that is a knockoff as well. But I like that imagery was in it a lot. I was like, if that's product placement, whoever has elephant jeans, I want some now. Even though I probably don't trust how strong they are. But yeah, it is. It's an odd one. I kind of feel like it is bad, but I did enjoy every second of it.
I can see how it falls into that category of like so terrible it's entertaining. It just. I don't know. It's too much. And my problem is it doesn't sustain that. Like, it starts off that way, and then it starts to waver, and it becomes bland towards the end.
Yeah, like maybe. What it starts with is surprising and weird. Because I think originally we watched it with other more mainstream Van Damme movies. So its stupid weirdness is kind of catches you off guard. Yeah. And it does let go of that idea a bit at the end. Saying that, the CIA boss was underneath the giant Buddha monument, yeah. So it's still pretty stupid.
It is
not silly.
And like it that deliberate silliness pops up every now and again as it goes on, but it starts to like waver and lose steam, which like if it had sustained, it would still be bad, but it would be consistently hilariously bad all the way through.
It could have also committed a bit more to comedy full on. If it had been more satirical and less let's just make a fun action movie.
And I also think, I don't know if like the action scenes were cut or something, but had they been allowed to go more nuts with the fight scenes, then that also would have helped carry it a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm thinking it could have been a bit more like a sort of proper silly film like Kung Pao or something. It could have been like, okay, let's just make it hilarious and weird, and we'll kind of pastiche the action genre. But it kind of was a typical action movie in many ways.
Yeah.
And the irony might be lost occasionally, you know?
Yeah.
Do you have any defense of these? Jamie's pulling me his direction, Abby, help.
No. Remember how much you enjoyed watching them attach a rickshaw to the side of a van, fight with a van, then crash into a supermarket, have a fight inside the van and supermarket some more, and then have a cop ultimately knocked out with a tin of beans.
You're right, it is brilliant.
I will say I had to stop. I had to stop the film at that moment where she gets knocked out because I was laughing.
There's something so good about someone throwing an object full pelt, and it's a woman's head as well. It's just so funny. Like, I don't know. And it's just as they're like, we're pulling guns out on each other now. And it's like, bonk, like, good night. Oh, dear. It was splendid at times. I think that's why. It goes over the top enough for me to say, I just like it. That's it. In terms of ratings and how do we rate this in our film bin way, I don't know. I feel like we've done knockoff toys as a rating for something else. I don't know how we could have.
I think they've come up tangentially. In one of the ones recently, I said it was like one of those action toys that look really good, but then when you pick it up, only one arm moves.
Yeah, we did do that, because I said it was like, one film we did was like one of those action figures you'd get at the post office, which is like a pretend Power Ranger, and its head pops off.
Yeah, it's odd. And also, we do fashion-related stuff. We've done hats many times, I think. But so going there, like, what knockoff fashion brand is it? You can't really... I can't think of the right thing to rate this under.
Maybe what silly camera move is it?
Oh, that's good. That's good. Does anyone... let's think now. So we had a lot of bizarre camera shots that were x-rays, and weird little pop-up boxes with just weird, unnecessary boxes popping up to show us another camera angle that they thought was worthwhile. We have terrible explosions all of the time with green flames. I mean, what kind of thing was this movie? Anyone got any suggestions?
I think it's foot-eye vision. Like, that probably captures everything right and wrong with this film, is that shot from the foot's eye view of going into the shoe.
Yeah, foot's eye view is odd. Because it's not even shoe eye view, it's foot. Like, you don't even see from low down and get a kind of rat's perspective on life. It's just, oh, shoe cam! And it's just like, good idea, but what? How do you mean, anyway? What's your explanation for why it is shoe cam?
Because initially that sounds funny, and then it happens, and it's not.
Or it sounds funny, it is funny, why did they do it? We don't know, but we're laughing.
To help with Jamie's metaphor there, you also get the sense afterwards of, did that just happen?
Yeah. What? Yeah.
And it's just thrown in fast enough, so you go, maybe you didn't even notice the shoe bit.
Yeah,
we're going through Van Damme's foot.
There's certain shots in the film that are so weird, you're not sure if you just imagined them because you got bored.
Anyone else?
Oh, I'm struggling. Yeah, I'm struggling.
I don't know, maybe... I noticed this film had a tendency to have a lot of close-up, wide-angle lens shots. So maybe something like that. Because they did... a quick, easy way to make things look different. But if you just keep doing it, then it
yeah. Well, that's what actually made me think of Terry Gilliam. Because at one point, I remember thinking to myself, this film is like Terry Gilliam was desperate for money, so he picked up a script written by a 10-year-old Jean-Claude Van Damme fan and turned it into a film.
Yeah, it is kind of that, isn't it? Yeah, it is an amalgamation of all the weird shots it's made up of. It's kind of the cheap green flame effect they used, which is terrible. But then Game of Thrones did it really well. Like, we go, oh, green fire is so much cooler than regular fire. And it somehow burns anywhere. That's amazing. And then this is just, why is the green fire there? That's dumb. But I like that they did it. I like it was weird. If it had been plain, it would have just been a boring action movie. And I like the fact that it did stuff differently. You know, a normal action movie would just have a regular explosion. This had green fire explosions that don't really burn the good guys if they don't want them to. So it's all very inexplicable and cheap, but it kind of works. And I admire the badness, I think. So for me, it's the green flame effect that they use terribly.
And then he leaves me! And me!
Quickly, let's zoom in through a mirror, then through the screen of Abby's computer, into her brain, where we'll see her weird brain goop, and then zoom out the back of her head and establish her thoughts. Go.
Yes, you've reminded me of something. It is specifically the one where they're in the bathroom, and we're inside the mirror going through the newspaper out to Rob Schneider. Because it's that feeling of after that happens where you think, I was just inside a bathroom mirror watching Rob Schneider have a pee.
That kind of captures how I felt watching this.
It's like being in the walls of the Big Brother house watching them all through the like special mirrors that the cameras are behind. You're just in there. It's a confused space that shouldn't exist, and you're just voyeuristically watching people do weird things.
And how, if you don't think about it, it's fine, you accept it. But when you do start thinking about it, it just gets a bit wrong.
So it's all of the ridiculous editing and visual effects used. And for some of us, it's awesome. And for others, it's a mistake not to be done again. Please, 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 please.
I'm gonna go and watch Street Fighter instead.
How dare you?
Have fun.
So, let's knock off. Shall we, guys? I think we're done.
What?
Let's knock off. Let's finish. Like the film.
Right. Okay.
We're knocking off the podcast. We're clocking out. knocking off.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.